You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Scott on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speakers. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Feel the Eights filling in for Alan Hahn this afternoon with Bart Scott, who is always here, and it's time now for us to head out to the Goodyear Hotline, where we find the co-host of Canty and Golic Jr., Chris Canty, longtime NFL defensive lineman, joins us here on the show very kindly this Monday afternoon.
Once proud Giant.
I was just going to ask, Chris Canty, it's tough times right now for the New York Giants. We'll start here. Earlier this month, or excuse me, last year, because I'm forgetting that it's now 2022, Adam Schefter reported that Joe Judge's job and Daniel Jones' job are expected to be safe going into 2022. Based off how things have unfolded over the past few weeks for the Giants on the field, does that deserve to be the case?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it shouldn't be the case. If you look at some of the mistakes that the Giants have made from an execution standpoint, I think it's emblematic of the job that Joe Judge has done. So for all of the posturing, all of the tough talk that we hear at the post-game press conferences, the results aren't on the field aren't a product that anybody that's associated with the fan with the franchise or anybody in the fan base can be proud of. So yeah, guys, I'm seeing it the same way that you guys see it. I don't think Joe Judge should be back, but if you read the tea leaves, if you listen to people that are close to the organization and what they have to say, it sounds like the inclination for John Mara and Steve Tisch is to try to run it back with Joe Judge, move on from Dave Gettleman, let him step down or retire, and then elevate Kevin Abrams, their assistant general manager, to the GM spot and see if they can give this thing a chance to get turned around. But I just don't think that there's anything that you can point to that has proven that anybody within the hierarchy of this organization has any clue as to how to get this thing fixed and get the Giants back on a path where they can be consistently competitive.
Now, Chris, I believe that most people are independent thinkers, right? So I believe that most people, you know, even though, like, say me and your boys, you think about things a certain way or differently than I do.
Uh-huh.
But you talk about the Giants always go with somebody that's skin in the game within the organization. I think the owners do that to protect themselves from some of the decisions that they've made. But you say Kevin Abrams being promoted up, isn't that just a little bit more of the same? And is that just another way of not having to go out and spend money on a general manager that's going to hold you accountable for the decisions that you made in the past and tell you that we're breaking this thing up? Is that just a way of keeping the synergy in within there the same? Because I would assume that Abrams and Joe Judge would get along, but if you really were doing it the right way, shouldn't you go out with the best possible candidate?
Bart, I'll say this, and I hate to answer a question with a question, but tell me the GM candidate that's going to be in demand, that's going to be amenable to retaining Joe Judge as their head coach, and then also keeping some of the front office personnel in there the same.
I mean,
like, there's a lot of brother-in-law going on in the Giants. So hold on, listen to me, Bart. A lot of brother-in-law going on in the Giants front office, literally and figuratively. So when you start talking about elevating Kevin Abrams, I think the thought would be that there are some other people that would benefit from Kevin Abrams being in that position as opposed to bringing in a fresh set of eyes, somebody as a general manager that will want to shake up the way that they do business. And I'm not sure that the Giants want to go down that road because that would mean relinquishing some power when it comes to personnel decisions that the family actually has direct control over. I'm not sure that the Giants are ready to do that just yet.
Well, I understand why Mara wouldn't want to do that. And I understand the whole nepotism thing that we're alluding to. And I don't want – listen, I'll say it because I don't want your key code not to work. You're a great Giant. I'm a Jet. They hate me anyway.
No matter what you say, it still ain't going to work, so it's all good. So they only allow me over there for ceremonial things.
So you talk about the nepotism that's going on. Then at what point does the other owner, the owner with the money – come over and say, you know what, man? Like, yo, you. I understand you washing money by putting money in your kids' hands, pockets. They're not qualified, and they've proven that they're not qualified. So I'm stepping in, or I'm taking my money and I'll go buy a team somewhere else because you're not about to be spending my money and paying your kids at the same time, and they doing a below average to D minus to F job.
Well, Bart, there's a lot of things that are going on with the Giants and with Steve Tisch. There are some other issues that are separate and aside from football that's going on there. So I don't think that he's going to be overly involved in what's going to happen moving forward, them trying to chart a path forward. So I don't know if that's going to be a factor this time around. What I will say is this. The Giants are afraid of being viewed as a dysfunctional franchise. They don't want to be in a cycle of hiring and firing head coaches every 2 years. To that, I would say, since 2017, you are tied with the New York Jets for the worst record in football.
You have to throw that.
Your record already shows that you're a dysfunctional franchise. So go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. Find the very best candidate as your general manager. Allow him the autonomy to fix things as he sees fit. And if that means moving on from Joe Judge and others, then so be it. But it's clear that they need an overhaul because the Giants don't know what they're doing. I mean, listen, man, in the last 4 years, the Giants have had 19 wins. The last time the Giants went through such a span, Bart, it happened back in the late 70s, wow, right before the NFL was prompted to step in and help the Giants find George Young to oversee their operations as their czar and get them back on track. Like that's the irony in the situation that the Giants are in right now, and they've got to find a way to be able to fix this thing and get back on track.
Desperate times right now for the New York Giants. I want you to imagine you are in the Giants locker room, again, as a player, and you heard what Joe Judge had to say after the game yesterday. It was a long-winded rant. It was about 11 minutes, and I think there's a case to be made that, well, we, the media, are the ones that are listening to it, writers are transcribing it, radio hosts are breaking it down. It felt, in some ways, like a message to the team as well. How would you have interpreted that if you were a player, hearing things like the idea that former players wish they were still with the Giants, this is a place that they want to play? Are you buying what he was selling yesterday?
No, man. No, that's all coach speak, and Darren Orlovsky kind of alluded to it. But I think what Joe Judge did yesterday is one of those situations that reminds me of something, Field, that I saw in the Man in the Arena docuseries with Tom Brady. And he was talking about the Deflategate situation. He said, if you're always explaining yourself, you're on the losing side of things. Mm. And doesn't it feel like that with Joe Judge's press conferences over the course of the last month with the New York Giants? I mean, you're just talking about loss after loss after loss. In the second half of 2020, the Giants finished 5-3 in that final eight games. So we felt like there was reason for optimism. This year, it's the opposite. You're talking about the Giants being 1-6 over their last seven, and this team feeling like they have no clue as to how they're going to get it fixed. So they don't have an identity. When you ask me what the New York Giants' identity is, I couldn't tell you, Field. And I think that's a reflection, a poor one, on the head coach in Joe Judge. Not to mention he's a special teams guy, and the special teams miscue that we saw from Farrell Cooper that led to a safety and led to more points for the Bears before the half. That is inexcusable. Your quarterback having a sack fumble and the first play of the game from a guy that's untouched is inexcusable. Mm. The first play of the game that we saw 2 weeks ago against the Eagles, when you got two guys out there, a tight end and a wide receiver, that don't block the guys at the point of attack and go to third-level defenders, that is inexcusable. All of these things you can't explain away. It's not a talent issue. It's an execution issue. And I'm sorry, to me, that falls under the purview of the head coach. So Joe Judge can say anything he wants to say about the state of the Giants and changing the way that guys think. I'm of the mind that I see better than I hear, and what I'm seeing on the field is just not good enough. He hasn't proven to me that he can do the job, and I don't think he should have it after this season.
I take it that we're going to blame everything on Freddie Kitchens now, right? Because Jason Garrett's no longer there, so we got to keep pointing the finger at other people.
Yeah, last year it was Mark Colombo, wasn't it? It was Mark Colombo last year. This year it was Jason Garrett.
Yeah, my point. Yeah. I'm sure if they're going to keep him, this is what he's going to do, bring Bill O'Brien from Alabama to try and fix his offense or, you know, something like that. Listen, we understand. I understand when I've been bamboozled. And, you know, he said everything that he was supposed to say to get the job, right? And I'm sure Bill Belichick called down to New York and was like, hey, this guy's ready, he's good to go, and gave him his seal of approval, much like Peyton screwed the Jets fans by getting us Adam Gase, right? You know, now both New York teams are in a similar situation.
I feel like you're being disrespectful to the Jets when you say that, though. Because, I mean, both teams are 4-12, but they look different. They look awfully different, and I feel like the arrows are pointed in opposite directions.
All right.
I mean, at least the Jets have looked competitive.
Yeah.
You could say that they were competitive yesterday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We haven't seen that from the New York Giants.
Well, speaking of the Jets and their competitive nature, I mean, I thought the kid had a good game and not bailing out of the pocket early, delivering the football with a lot of weapons down. But what did you think about this dude calling his own number? Now we know, calling his own number, saying, thinking that he could get a 4th-and-2 against Vita Vea, McClendon, and Ndamukong Suh. And this dude looks like he's 180 pounds soaking wet.
He shouldn't have been in that situation where he could call his own number.
No, he was. I know stuff like you know stuff.
I'm just saying he shouldn't have been in that situation.
He wasn't in that situation. He was supposed to give it to Braxton Berrios that would have hit his head on the goalpost. But it's one of those things where he called his own number and then he tried to lie it away. And this is the second time he's done that, where he's pointing a finger saying, oh, and this, and he tries to hurry up and say, oh, we'll move on. We're not going to hang our heads. But he was under instructions to give it to Braxton Berrios. Trust me, I know this. And the kid called his own number. And I think that is a very, very bad character flaw that this guy has, that he wants to be the hero and not allow his playmakers to be the hero. Because he could have been the hero. If he gives it to Braxton Berrios, you still can pump your fist and say, look what I did. When you're taking a knee as you can run the clock out. Instead, now the GOAT continues to add to the layers of his story.
Well, here's what I'll say, Bart. Whether it's a quarterback sneak or a jet sweep to Braxton Berrios, I still don't like the play call coming out of the timeout. Like, think about it. Like, that's like a two-point play. That's an end-of-game, goal-to-goal type of situation. You come out with your very best play. That's what you do. If you're telling me after a timeout, that is the very best play that you can come up with, then that is an indictment on Mike LaFleur and Rob Saleh.
Oh, no.
Because I don't like that play call.
Chris,
in that situation, I want to try to give my quarterback a run-pass option. There is no scenario where it's a quarterback sneak option to give it to Braxton Berrios on the jet sweep. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to criticize the call to go for it because I think that's the right decision when you game it out. I mean, it just seems like it makes sense. You have an opportunity to go ahead and win the game rather than to play for a 7-point lead, knowing that Tom Brady's going to get the ball back with around 2 minutes to go. I think it was the right call, but I don't like the actual play call itself. So whether you want to say it's Zach Wilson being selfish or, you know, doing something and putting himself above the team, or whether it's a situation where Braxton Berrios getting the ball on the jet sweep was the best option that you had, I still don't like either one of those options for the Jets in that scenario. I thought they could have came up with a lot better play call, and so I think it's an indictment on everybody involved.
Hey, Chris, you know I am contractually obligated to watch Jets games.
Right? I watched every second of that Jets game yesterday, too.
But I'm contractually obligated. I'm contractually obligated. I have to watch it every day and all this. I have to dig super deep. That play was wide open. Braxton Berrios had just made 5 people miss before early in the game and got 10 yards on the same play.
So, Bart, if you're contractually obligated, does that mean that you have to defend the play call from Mike LaFleur?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, that cuts both ways now.
I have made LaFleur barbecue chicken. Listen, the Jets post game is different from the Giants. I get to say whatever the hell I want.
Okay.
You know, I chop him up so much that if he see me in the building, he might try and fight. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to win, but he might try and fight.
Okay.
So,
I
like,
got you.
So
it didn't work out. It didn't work out.
It didn't work out because the kid's selfish.
It'll always be second-guessed. What I will say is this. I do like what I saw from Zach Wilson yesterday, and I thought that they did a good job overall on putting him in situations where he can manage it. They used a lot of shifts and motions pre-snap to clean up some of the coverage looks for him. So he was really decisive at the top of his drop. When he hit his back foot, the ball was coming out. I thought that was great. And then also giving him the balance of the run game. I mean, the Jets had 73 yards rushing in the first quarter alone. Being able to use Connor McDermott as that extra offensive lineman, being able to get out there on the perimeter, knowing you were missing Shaq Barrett and JPP for the Bucs defense, they exploited that. They took advantage of the lack of force on that run defense for the Bucs. And so I think when you have that formula, when you use some of the shifts, some of the motions, and some odd personnel groupings, you give your quarterback more answers before the ball is snapped. And that's kind of where the Jets need to live while they're trying to develop Zach Wilson into a guy that can elevate all the talent around him.
Great stuff and great passion, as always, from our friend Chris Canty, the co-host of Canty and Goalie Jr., which, of course, just right behind us, by the way. Coming up very soon. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time with us. We'll talk to you soon and listen to your show right after ours today on ESPN Radio.
Appreciate you guys, man. Merry New Year.
Merry New Year. That was Chris Candy giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's dive into the Jets a little bit more here, Bart. So I think it's really hard to day-to-day zoom out on a roster because we all are fans and the emotions of a game, for better or worse, are going to be highlighted on Sunday afternoons. But if you were to step back here for a second and look at the Jets right now and compare them to the Giants, or just compare to where they were last year.
Yeah.
Is it too simple for me to say that, like, the arrow is pointing up, like Chris said, and, like, actually this year, all things considered, has been one of, like, pretty marked growth. Like, I see it from Zach Wilson. He's a much better player. 8 touchdowns, 2 picks in his last 6 games after being a turnover machine early in the year. Robert Saleh seems to be growing as a head coach. Still not perfect, but seems to be growing. The defense has some young pieces that are probably playing more than they should be, and they're all pretty much playing competitive football. Offensive line has made some progress, even without Mekhi Becton. You've got a good running back in Michael Carter. Like, I'm seeing some seeds here. Do you feel the same way? Or are we too tied up in the wins and losses, which, of course, can make us go crazy on a Sunday afternoon?
Well, you know what? Recently, I feel that way. It was some tough sledding the last, like, maybe 4 weeks ago, a month ago. But the kid has not turned the ball over in the last 3 games. It looks like he's starting to figure some things out. I think we all can agree that Elijah Moore is a hit. Michael Carter is a hit. Michael Carter II is a hit. Echo is a hit. These are all guys that are in their first year. And we know, you know, Mekhi Becton, what he showed last year, if you just ask Brian Baldinger, he has a man crush on Becton, the likes I've never seen anybody have on a player that wasn't in their own organization. So I think they have a lot of young pieces, but they have some decisions that they have to make. I mean, I think that when you think about Corey Davis hasn't lived up to expectations. I think that Braxton Berrios has been a great find. He's those glue guys, those Edelman guys, those Jericho Cotchery type of guys that are just the heart and soul of a team that just does whatever needs to be done to win. But they got to make – Joe Douglas has to have a season in the draft like he had this year with contributors, guys to come in and contribute immediately. And he has 2 first-round draft picks, the Seattle Jamal Adams gift that keeps on giving – as that's going to be a high pick, potentially a top 10 pick. He has to hit on all those guys, and now it's time to open up the vault and spend some serious money. Carl Lawson will be coming back next year. They have to go out there. I love the kid from, if we look at what Humphrey Creed has meant to not only Mahomes but also to that offensive line, I think Tyler Linderbaum will be the same type of player. They have to go out and continue to build this offensive line in front of Zach Wilson. And if you do that, you can go out there. You have, you know, Fant that has played at a high level. You can move Becton to right tackle. You can go out there and put Tyler Baum there. We know that Vera Tucker is a legit star in this league. Now you have something cooking. But you have to build the foundation before you start going out there getting all these fancy pieces on the outside.
How far away are they, though? Because I think that's
happens. Two years.
Okay.
2 years. Next year, they should push for the seventh seed. They should be pushing for the seventh seed. Because remember, this team isn't as bad as their record indicates. Right. They lost Marcus May. They lost Johnson early in the year. Carl Lawson never made it. Mekhi Becton played 1 game this year. If you add those type of players to the fold, and now you have money, you're getting those players back. I think they have to move on for Marcus May being injured. But, you know, have the money to go out and maybe try and sign a guy like Bates, Marcus Williams, in New Orleans that can't, you know, probably won't get paid because they're in salary cap hell. You go out there, you spend that money. You held on to that money. Now it's time to spend. It's nothing like having money when nobody else does. Liquid.
Yeah, the Jets basically can make a play for almost any player they want in free agency. Now, there has to be mutual interest, of course. Yeah, multiple players as well.
Mutual interest is that's money. Yeah. Come on down, Mike Williams. Right. You want to be a number one? You want to get away from Keenan Allen? Come on over here,
baby. Your opportunity to do so. The interesting part will be that they do play in a division that has 2 teams going to the playoffs. So, like, making progress, shouldn't be confused with them having to win the AFC East next year. It's going to take some time, but it does feel like the team is showing some serious direction to Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, he's going to make his rookie mistakes. They all do, but there's some pretty significant arm talent there. That's one of those phrases, though, that some people absolutely hate and some people love it. But when he gets a chance to spin it, Bart, he can really, really spin it. So things are mostly looking up for the New York Jets. The team they share a city with and a stadium, the New York Giants, Not so much, despite the fact that they have the same record. So Joe Judge says that NFL free agents want to play for the Giants. Do you believe him? Do we believe him? That's next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. But first, Bart has a word from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done like Phil Yates, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop on by. Back after this with some of that hot sauce.
Wake up and get up with Key, Jay, and Max.
Their offense really isn't that explosive. What they do is they trick you. They got some of that old New England Patriot trick them in them, make you think that they're doing a whole lot of stuff, and they really not.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Followed by Green.
More information on that as we get it.
Midday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Steen Lisi developing story. A denial from Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians today that receiver Antonio Brown told him he was too injured to play against the Jets. Arians acknowledged it was difficult watching Brown erupt on the sidelines in such a chaotic way yesterday and leaving the field during the game. He also told reporters he has no regrets bringing Brown into the organization. The Buccaneers expected to officially release Brown at 4 Eastern today. Monday Night Football, Steelers taking on the Browns, 8 Eastern ESPN TV and ESPN2. Steelers needing a win to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. Raiders Chargers flex to Sunday night. The winner clinches an AFC playoff spot. NBA Nets preparing for guard Kyrie Irving to make his season debut at Indiana on Wednesday, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Irving can't play in home games this season because he hasn't complied with New York City's COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. The ESPN app and your smart speaker is back. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests on the Bart and Hahn show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Field Yates in for Alan Hahn. And I am joining Bart Scott, who is here every single day. And we are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. So, Bart, over the past three games, the New York Giants have scored 19 points, not per game. Total, they fired their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, about 6 weeks or so ago, and everybody said, oh yeah, the root of the issue has been taken care of. They have been worse since that time. They have looked listless with Freddie Kitchens as their offensive coordinator, as was the case when Jason Garrett was their offensive coordinator. Yesterday, after another embarrassing loss, head coach Joe Judge said that free agents or desire to play in New York, and that players who were previously with the Giants and are now on other teams, he communicates with regularly and actually wish he was still their coach.
Is that tampering? I can tell you, we got more players here who are going to be free agents next year, all right, who are in my office every day begging to come back. I know that. Okay, I know that. Or players that we coached last year that still call me twice a week talking about, you know, how much they wish they were still here, even though they're getting paid more somewhere else. Okay.
So, Bart, here's what I'll start with. I don't know if that's true or not, right? Like, I don't know the answer, right? There probably are guys who have enjoyed their experience.
Is that tampering?
I don't know. It's a good question. I suppose if you're talking to former players not about non-football matters, I don't know the specifics of it. That's a good question. But, like, I don't know that, like, there probably are players who are going to become free agents this offseason with the New York Jets, who are happy with the New York Giants, excuse me, who are happy and want to stay there beyond this season. And there's always more going on behind the scenes than we see on the field every single Sunday. I will say this, is that I'm not sure the contents of what Joe Judge said yesterday bother me that much, because like, it's not like he came out and torpedoed people. He just basically said, like, you know, guys want to be here. We have a good culture. I was just sort of surprised at the setting. Were you surprised that after another loss yesterday that Joe Judge took the opportunity to do this following a 29-3 loss to the Chicago Bears? Like, it's not like they played a powerhouse.
With the backup, with Andy Dalton starting. Not their prospect.
Ugh, like a disappointing, deflating, humiliating loss. Why now for these comments?
Because he's trying, listen, sleight of hand. All great magicians do this, right? He's trying to get you to look at the shiny thing over here so you can't get to the meat and potatoes of why his team isn't disciplined, why they struggle on special teams, which is supposed to be his expertise, and why they seem to not play inspired football, why they don't seem to be a smart football team. Like, he was supposed to be brought in here and to talk about discipline and playing smart. They're one of the most penalized teams in the league. So it's like one of those things. It's the sleight of hand. Right. And you talk about, you know, people trying to say, OK, he's trying to say that people are clamoring to come back here. Well, I wonder if I polled your current players, how many of them are clamoring to leave here? Right. And how many people are saying, oh, please, because I don't see anybody saying, hey, man, sign me long term. I want to be here. Like, I don't see anybody, you know, saying that. So, I mean, that goes both ways. Of course, there's people that want to come back because they left maybe in free agency and they're not playing or it's not what they thought it was going to be. But I don't see a lot of guys that saying, hey, man, or free agents saying, man, I can't wait to come here. You know, not people that other people are going to want as well, because it doesn't seem like the stock is climbing here. It seems like it's going the other direction.
So one thing that has to be mentioned is the fact that Daniel Jones has not been on the field. That being said, Bart, like, is the fact that Daniel Jones is unavailable the biggest issue for this Giants offense, or does it run much deeper than Daniel Jones, because he's a bit of a lightning rod himself, right? There are some people that believe he's a below-average quarterback.
Well, what about we watch Mike White get busy, Josh Johnson get busy.
For two teams.
We watch Joe Flacco get busy. So what type of offensive philosophy do you have that you don't have a backup that can come in and play well? Like, when the Jets had three, like, what are you teaching?
Yeah.
You know, what's your philosophy? What's your culture like? Like, so I don't want to have these built-in excuses for Joe Judge. His team has played bad. And it's different from the Jets, and it's different from the Texans. It's different from the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they have young quarterbacks and they haven't spent money yet. They also have some of the most salary cap space.
Yeah.
So the Giants went all in when they brought in Blake Martinez, Bradberry. They brought in they traded and got Peppers in. They paid Leonard Williams all this money. They brought Kenny Galladay.
Yep.
Like, so we supposed to be seeing like the reward for going out and being aggressive and still spending two high draft picks and Saquon Barkley coming back off injury. And it's still been meh. So, I mean, at what point are we going to hold him accountable? You can't keep pointing the finger at everybody else. Eventually it's you. Oh, it's only been 2 years and blah, blah, blah. We just saw Zach Taylor go to Cincinnati, arguably one of the worst ran organizations in sports history over time. You know, when you think about, you know, everything that they've been through as an organization. And the Giants are supposed to be a proud organization. They figured it out in 2 years.
Yeah.
You guys haven't figured it out. Hell, I watched the Texans like, man, that team plays hard, man. Like, oh, like Davis Mills looks like a player.
Yeah. Say, Davis Mills has shown some promise during a year in which, other than Mac Jones, the rookies have largely struggled. Davis Mills has been a solid prospect for Houston. And you're right, like a team that seems to have a bit of hope, even without talent. So where do they go from here, the Giants, right now? Because it seems all but certain that they're going to change general managers. Dave Gettleman, the incumbent general manager, seems like he is on borrowed time, perhaps just 1 week left until he is no longer the Giants GM.
But if they're hiring from within, like Chris Canty alluded to with Abrams, then what's going to change?
Right. That's the question I asked, too, is that doesn't it feel you like need a fresh set of eyes in there?
Yes.
Because if the commitment
That's right what Gettleman now, was. Gettleman was the same thing. That was bringing somebody that had been in the organization that thinks the same way and it's not an outside look.
Yeah. I will say this, is that I always believe that things are subject to change in the NFL, and it feels like the commitment to Daniel Jones for next year is this. He's already got a guaranteed contract for next year. It's not like if we cut him, we get salary cap space. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to trade Daniel Jones because who's targeting Daniel Jones right now, right? Probably nobody. So you're committed to him insofar as that he's going to be on your roster one way or another. But it feels to me like the get out of jail card right now for the New York Giants is this. They have two potential top 10 picks, their own plus the Chicago Bears.
And who's picking those picks?
Well, that part we don't know yet.
Yeah, but if it's somebody from within the organization,
yeah.
Bill,
yeah.
Then what the same philosophy is there, because that means that Joe Judge is still empowered.
Yeah, but where I was going to go with this, though, is that regardless of who's making the picks, is that it feels like the card you can play is that there is not a quarterback in this year's draft class that is considered a lock top 10 pick. So you're not using one of those two top 10 picks on a quarterback and solving all your issues. But could you parlay those into a veteran quarterback, right? And there's a lot of cap machinations you have to work through. But as an example, if you could give Seattle a call, mm-hmm. say, hey, we're interested in that Russell Wilson guy you got. We'll give you our two first-round picks, which will replenish your draft capital and give you some hope going forward to sort of start Seattle's reset. Because right now, with Russ, based off this year, it's not working there in Seattle. And Russ already permitted...
Had a list.
Yeah, he had a list. And what a list tells you is that I'm one foot out the door, maybe even two, right? And after a 10-loss season, it feels like Russ will probably be 2 feet out the door. That, to me, is the potential gateway for the Giants to get back on track, is a veteran quarterback upgrade accomplished through a trade this offseason. That, to me, feels like how they turn their fortunes around faster than anything else, because patience and developing hasn't worked. The team has not drafted well for, like, years. Years it's been since they had a player. Like, they have had so few draft picks reach a second contract with the team.
Does Saquon Barkley break that? Because right now, what do you think?
I wouldn't pay a running back right now, would you? I mean, not a guy who's had his production, right? He obviously was incredible as a rookie. How many running backs?
3 years of block.
Top value? That's right. How many years? If you go back, do a blind resume, and you look at Devontae Booker versus Saquon Barkley, how they've performed on a per-touch basis, go look at that and see which of them has been a better player on a per-touch basis. Sadly and scarily, the answer is Devontae Booker. So if I'm the Giants, I'm not looking to extend Saquon Barkley this offseason. There are better uses of your resources, and you have limited on the cap, but you do have them on the draft. So I do think the Giants need to consider changing things in a major way. But, I mean, if you were to do a straw poll, and just even a Barton Field poll, like, it's pretty obvious. If you had to assess which team's future is brighter right now in New York, it's the Jets by a lot, right?
Hey, I don't even think it's close. And I wonder if Russell Wilson would say, I want to come play for Joe Judge, because coordinator. So what kind of offense am I playing in, and what's your philosophy? Well, let me guess. My head coach has never done anything but coach special teams and position coach. So we don't know anything about what his philosophy is, what type of offensive system he runs. So remember, these quarterbacks that we're talking about and clamoring over the possibility that can come in and change everything, they have the ability to block any trade because they have no trades.
Sure. The only thing they do have that is undisputable, they have the market of New York. And that has a lot of appeal to a lot of players, especially those big, big stars. So week 17 determined a lot of the playoff picture, but there's still one more weekend, 18 regular season weeks in the NFL. We'll let you know what still needs to be decided in the NFL's final weekend. But before we do that, a word from Bart on Man in the Arena.
Join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Back after this. I hate reading about Tom Brady.
Strong opinions.
It looks to me like Aaron Rodgers is looking for external motivation.
The best analysis, plus the biggest names in sports.
What's up, Luke?
I see someone's got a little energy over there. That's good.
Fired up, ready to go.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max starting at 6 Eastern, followed by Green.
The worst offense in the NFL. It's a disgrace.
Mornings on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Back and bringing it home here on Bart and Han and ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Field Yates filling in for Alan Han. It's been a blast joining Bart Scott, the normal fixture of this show. Bart, it has been a fast 3 hours.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you've had three potty breaks and a lunch break. You know, with our breaks being so long, you can order a full omelet from the bar and be ready and back and all ready to go.
It's amazing. You can literally, like, you can do another radio show inside of a radio show. We talked about how yesterday quite a bit was decided in the NFL playoff picture, yes. But there are two divisions that are still technically up for grabs, the AFC East, as the Bills and the Patriots can still technically win that. The NFC West, where it could be the Rams, it could be the Cardinals as well. Seven teams remain alive for the final three spots, two in the AFC, one in the NFC. Here's how simple it is. On Sunday night, the Chargers and the Raiders play. If the Chargers win, they're in. If the Raiders win, they are in. So let's pick these final three spots in the AFC and NFC playoff picture. The easy one is start there. Who do you think wins this game between the Chargers and the Raiders, the game being played, by the way, in Las Vegas?
I mean, I tell you what, just the more consistent team has been the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers just because I believe the quarterback is slightly better.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. Now, Justin Herbert has had a couple of spots this year against superior opponents where he's just been up and down. Heck, he wasn't that good against the Texans this past week, but it's pretty clear that if you are expecting the peak of either quarterback, which quarterback's peak is much better? And that's Justin Herbert. And the Chargers' defense still gives me some trust issues, but their offense is good enough and explosive enough that I think the Chargers find a way to win that game as well, even doing so on the road. Do you think the Colts take care of business against the Jaguars on Sunday? They have not beaten Jacksonville, amazingly, in Jacksonville since 2014. Can they snap that streak on Sunday?
Come on, man.
Come on, man. I know.
Did you see what the Jag did against the Patriots, man.
They're
it's
so
barbecue
lowly,
chicken.
Listen,
this is the last game. Some guys just want to make sure that they don't get hurt because they don't want no offseason surgery.
Jags are 1-2-3 Cabo right now, right? The old line, 1-2-3 Cabo. We are out. Week 18 cannot come soon enough. I think the Colts win that game as well, which leaves one last spot. Do you think that the 49ers beat the Rams? And if they do, they're in. If they don't, then the Saints have to beat the Falcons, and the Saints would be in. Who do you got in those two games?
You said the Saints and who?
So the Saints have to beat the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
If they do that and the 49ers lose to the Rams and the Rams still have something to play for, the Saints would actually make the playoffs.
Nah, man, I think the Saints, all the voodoo and all the voodoo that they've been doing down in New Orleans and trying to keep this team afloat is over with, man. I think Matty Ice, you know, does just enough, even though Pitts looked like he's injured. So you know what? I think they get it done, but I don't think they get it.
Yeah, I think the Saints will win. I don't know what's going to happen in that. I think the Rams could win as well.
This whole Michael Thomas thing, man, that's going to be an interesting story to watch in the offseason. He's making way too much money. He's been making $20 million a year, and I hate counting another man's money, but they gave him $40 million for nothing.
No doubt. And one thing that's really, I think, worth pointing out is that it feels like if the 49ers make the playoffs, and Jimmy Garoppolo was back healthy, that the level of trust we have in the quarterbacks across the board in the playoffs is like pretty reasonable, all things considered. If the Saints make the playoffs because of all the injuries this year, Taysom Hill is a quarterback that I would trust less than the rest of the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's Tim Tebow.
He's slightly better.
He's better than Timmy. But
yeah.
I mean, you just don't respect him under center, right? And it's one of those things. He's great as a gadget guy, come in as a change in pace, you know, all the things that intangibles that he brings. But they really have some real questions at quarterback, you know, going into the offseason about who's going to go forward. Jameis Winston, he didn't really take control of it like we thought he would. He was good, but he was okay. He wasn't good.
Yeah, he was okay. He was solid. He helped them win some games early, but Jameis Winston obviously tore his ACL. We'll see him in 2022. Did you miss any portion of the show? You can always find all 3 hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.